And would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's around 1:42 a.m. In fact, it is precisely 1:42 a.m. because it's been a pattern. For the past several weeks, my two-year-old has awoken at 1:42 a.m. crying. I bleary-eyed see him in the monitor sitting up in his little crib saying, "Mama A, Mama A." And I grab my glasses and slide on my slippers and make my way to him. I swoop him up in my arms and he nestles in. The crying stops. His body relaxes. I take slow, deep breaths and pat his back. The strange thing about two-year-olds is that in one moment you remember how tiny they used to be and now they seem impossibly large. And then the very next moment, they are still so very, very small. And this very small, impossibly large little boy eventually closes his eyes and I lay him back down. I tuck him in and pat his back, slowly replacing my hand with his llama llama stuffed animal. I hope my knee or my ankle doesn't pop too loudly and I sneak out. Go back to bed. It is embarrassing for me to admit to you that it has only recently occurred to me that this is how God loves us. That when we say that God loves the way a parent loves, we mean to say that God wakes in the night with us, wraps herself around our impossibly tiny, impossibly big, tired bodies, scared hearts, anxious minds, takes deep breaths with us until we're calm. Jesus was dusty and weary from his travels, and he wanders into the home of Mary and Martha. Martha is the owner and head of the household, and she welcomes him in. She begins to make the preparations that any good host would. Sets extra places at the table, throws in a little bit of water into the soup to make it stretch farther, takes a little bit more pita and throws it on the fire, waits for it to puff up. Hospitality takes work. It takes intention, and it is the work of the faithful. Mary, on the other hand, sits down at the feet of Jesus. Like a student in front of a rabbi, she takes a position that in those days was normally reserved for men. But she knows Jesus. She knows this man who heals the ill and brings hope to the downtrodden. A teacher whose message is turning things upside down. A teacher whose presence is compelling. A teacher that she intends to learn from. And so she sits. Mary is leaned in and listening to Jesus as he talks in a voice gentle and sure about the kingdom of God, a kingdom that has a place of privilege even for her. She doesn't hear her sister wince when the pita burns her fingertips, pulling it out of the fire. She doesn't hear the clank of plates and platters that Martha is setting out. She doesn't notice her sister's overwhelm, not until she hears her sister's voice. "Rabbi, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus turns to Martha, takes a breath, sees her, really sees her, casts the full shine of his love upon her, and says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." He says her name not once, but twice. In the Latin, they call this a conduplicatio, a show of compassion and care. It's not chastisement. Jesus is not mad. He knows that the work of hospitality is good and faithful work. And see, he sees her. He sees her not only for her work of care, but he sees beneath the hustle of care a frazzled and bedraggled spirit, pulled in too many directions, trying to do the right thing, trying to do her best and feeling so very alone in the work, so overwhelmed, so focused on her task that she does not see the guest in front of her. And so Jesus extends to Martha an invitation. Martha, Martha, you are busy and distracted by so many things. Only one thing is needed. Sit. Sit down a while. Sit in my presence. You asked if I care. Oh, Martha, I care. I care so much about you that all of the rest of this is secondary. Come. Come sit a while with me. And I imagine that Martha sits down, begrudgingly at first, annoyed that her sister is still not helping, maybe worried about what has been left undone. And then as she sits, she listens, and the hard mask of busyness melts away. She hears her own heart beneath his teachings, a desire for the lowly to be lifted up, a fierce love for the sojourner, the migrant, and for those who care for them, a vision for the world where all is healed and whole, grace upon grace for everyone, everyone, everyone. Grace enough even for her sister. Grace enough even for herself. She sits and listens, and Martha finds herself encouraged. Challenged and healed, she finds herself sustained. Here at Old South Church for Lent, we are in a sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit, a list of spiritual virtues that Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Today's fruit of the day is faithfulness. Now, Jesus is very faithful, so he features in this story, but we figure Jesus is maybe not always a helpful example to us mere mortals. And so this story has other faithful people. Mary, so ready to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Martha, so ready to prepare a place for Jesus, weary from the road. Faithfulness is concerned, yes, with what we believe, and yes, with what we do. And faithfulness requires that our faith is in something. God, I hope. Jesus, I hope. We live in a time when faith in God could be used as an opiate for the masses, as Marx said, putting us asleep to the troubles of this world and this life. It can be used as an excuse for ignorance or a fuel for tribalism. We in the progressive church, I think we have a different problem. I think at times we, by which I mean to say I, suffer from an anemic faith in God, a faith often more rooted in ourselves and our own self-driven efforts for justice than a rooted belief and a lived experience in God's great transformative power. So intent are we on our own responsibility to the work of healing the world that we forget that God is the greatest healer of all. Sometimes, and lately it's a lot of the time, I feel deeply disturbed and overwhelmed at the troubles of our world, and I feel powerless to do anything at all about it. The job cuts of scientists and educators, the intentionally cruel immigration policies, the daily crumbling of our system of governance by three co-equal branches of power. I am worried and disturbed by many things. If I let my mind wander, I can get lost in a tailspin of anxiety. I fill my days with tasks, good, faithful ones, mostly. Reply to that nonprofit's request, go to the State House to meet with legislators, read the news, donate to that GoFundMe for immigration lawyers, do the laundry, pack the lunches, wake with the baby. Like Martha, I scramble from task to task, and for all my scrambling and all my doing, it doesn't feel like enough. I want to say with Martha, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that your people are perishing? Do you not care that trans people are no longer free to travel? Do you not care that immigrant parents are making plans for their children for if, or rather when, they get deported? Do you not care that our people, our good people, scientists and educators and government workers are losing their jobs by the day? Do you not care? And I imagine Jesus seeing my hustling, our hustling, and turning to us, taking a deep breath, and he sees us. He really sees us, our frantic spirits, our fearful minds, our exhausted hearts, sees our desperation to do what we can with what we've got, sees our efforts to protect our people. Jesus sees us, casts the full shine of his love upon us. And to our weary and overwhelmed selves, Jesus offers an invitation. Oh, my people, oh, my beloved, oh, mi gente, you are worried and distracted by many things. Come. Come and rest a while in my presence. Come and listen. Come and let me take care of you. Come, for you are not alone. Sit. Sit, I will sustain you. Sit, I will hold you. Sit, I will encourage you. Sit, I will heal you. Just sit a while in my presence and let my love wrap itself all the way around you. To rest in God at a time like ours is not to be asleep to the troubles of the world. To rest in God is perhaps one of the most faithful actions that we can take, lest the troubles overwhelm us with their power to drive us to despair. To rest in God will sustain us, will remind us that it is not by our own power alone that the world will turn, but by the power of God, God greater than all other forces in this universe, let alone any small nation, let alone any small president. So take heart. Take heart, beloved, for the one who watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. When our spirits cry out, Lord, do you not care? Hear the voice of God say, Beloved, beloved, I am here with you. Always will be. Always have been. Come what may. Like a parent holding a child in the wee hours of the night. I am here. Amen.